So you turn me, please, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way in the places of the plains. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye as understanding heart. Hear, for I speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are as in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. And by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will find their treasures. The Lord possesseth me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While he yet not had made known the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, yea, he established the clouds above. He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I with him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, and blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. You might wonder yourself why I read that particular passage. And I was asked, someone asked me, as I made a comment several times over the last, I don't know, several months, how the Lord had directed and guided us in this decision to move out to Kansas. And they wanted to know, you know, how the Lord had blessed us, how the Lord had guided us, how the Lord has showed us that. It is possible to know the will of the Lord. It is possible to know what the Lord wants us to do. It isn't an earthly wisdom. It isn't something that comes about by human intelligence. It's not something that we can, of our own selves, devise. It's something that comes by the Spirit of God guiding us through His Word, guiding us through prayer, guiding us through the events of life, and showing us what He desires us to do. We came here 9 years ago from Spain. That was a difficult decision, a difficult transition for us. We had been there for over 10 years and had labored in that little town of Palencia. We all enjoyed it there. There wasn't any reason just because we were giving up or because we just didn't like it there any longer that we decided to come here. We believed it was God's will for us to come back with our children and be with them here while they were going through that transition on into college and until they finally were able to move on, set up a household of their own. And we believe that was God's will for our lives. And we were criticized by some people because of that decision. But the Lord, I think, showed us that was true. I think he led us here to be in Durham, to be in this assembly. I think there was a real need at that time, and I think that the Lord used us during that transition period. And as I said this morning, you know, it was a benefit and a blessing for us to be here with you all. And the Lord showed us in that timing all the things that took place, and our children being able to not only get their education, but to be used of the Lord and to go on for Him. It's just interesting. I'll tell you, brother, I have gone around a lot, and there's a lot of guys my age and some very, very dear friends of mine, young men that were when I was young, I respected them. They had known the Lord longer than I had. And yet some of their families are just a disaster, just an absolute disaster. And I just praise the Lord, it's nothing of us. It's not because we're so much better than anybody else. The Lord has been merciful. He's answered our prayers that our children are going on for the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. It's not common anymore today, even among men that love the Lord and are going on for Him and being used of Him. And we just praise the Lord for that. And so I know a lot of that was due with the opportunities that our children had here to serve in Northgate Chapel. Our sons being able to minister the word, all of our children being able to help in things like Awana and other programs. We know that was part of it. And so we appreciate that. We had told the elders right when we first came that we were here primarily in this area because of our children's education, and that when our children were done with school, we didn't know what the Lord would have us to do. But that was very likely we'd move on. Maybe go back to Spain, maybe go back somewhere else on the mission field. We just didn't know, but we informed them of that. And so as that time drew to a close a couple of years ago, Jonathan was finishing up school and he was looking for employment, looking to go on and get a job and get on work on his master's degree, and he did. Josiah was finishing up school. Lydia was done. Anna was married. Elizabeth was married and gone, and we just felt like it was a time to begin to seek the Lord's will. And so we began to pray. And we asked the Lord, show us what you want us to do. Show us where you would have us to be. Well, let me go back just a little bit. A number of years ago, our children met three young people from Wichita. A family that we became very, very close to. Their mother and Angie are our closest friends, and they've been long distance friends for a number of years. They had a homeschool basketball tournament, national homeschool basketball tournament, and so when our children played on the homeschool basketball team, we took the team out there three different years, and stayed with this. Part of us stayed with this family and other families there in the assembly. Angie got to know them. I went out the last year and got to know them. We got to know this assembly and some of the people in it. And we just said at that time, wouldn't it be nice someday if the Lord would ever lead us to Wichita, which with no idea this is where we were going to go, and really not even figuring out. We weren't thinking like, well, let's make it so we can go to Wichita. But it was just something that we felt a kindred spirit with some of the believers there, and especially with the several families there. Then Scott and Jenny Tucker moved out to Wichita. Scott got a job out there with this company, brother that lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He needed someone to run his company in Wichita, and he hired Scott and Jenny. Well, Scott is one of my closest friends, and we kept in communication over the time that he was there. And one day, he wrote me an email and said, Mark, we're looking for someone to take over some of the position of sales here in Kansas and Oklahoma. Do you know anybody? And I just wrote him back, you know what, I might be interested. This is all during this time that we were praying about. And what had taken place at that same time, for a number of years, I would come home and I would tell Angie, you know, Angie, I just really believe that what the itinerant ministry has become here in America isn't necessarily what brethren a number of years ago practiced, nor is it something I believe that really is what the Lord lays out in His Word. There's so many assemblies that have become dependent upon the itinerant preacher. There's some assemblies that I would go to that every time they open the door, an outside speaker would come in to speak. And I was just uncomfortable with that whole situation. I felt like so many times there was no impact. I was just filling the platform. And I still love doing that ministry, but I felt like there's a lot of little tiny assemblies that could really use some help. And so I began to pray about what would the Lord have me to do. A lot of things were taking place. Again, all this during this transition, a lot of things we were praying about. And so we began to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Where would you have us to go? And this job situation came up. I don't have any experience in sales. I used to work at like a Walmart and things like that, but I've never done anything like that. But I gave the guy my resume and basically told him, listen, I've been, in a sense, selling for years. You know, I've been sharing the gospel with people and it's similar to that. And so the fellow who owns the company is an elder in an assembly down in Tulsa. He loves the Lord, and he said he would meet with us. So we met with him a year ago last summer. After they'd already tried to hire one other guy, and it didn't work out. And he wasn't really thinking about me because of my inexperience. But we met with him and his wife and Scott. And I just told him, I said, listen, here's a couple of things. Number one, I can't move out here until next year. He needs somebody right away. I said, number two, I want to continue to preach and to teach and to have opportunity to minister the word in places where I'm invited to. And so we didn't think he'd ever give me the job. So we prayed about it and said, Lord, and we laid out several other things that were just impossible. And every one of those things that we laid, every one of those barriers that we put in front of it, the Lord opened the door. The Lord kept opening doors. And he came back to me and said, I'll tell you what, you, from now until the beginning of the year, if you'll come out 2 weeks a month, and you can be home 2 weeks a month with your family, and then at the first of the year, come out here, and then you can go home, be with your family any weekend that you want to, that's fine with me. Well, that was just amazing. He paid for those trips back and forth until the end of the year. The Lord people's hearts opened up out there that I stayed with in different homes for those few months until the end of the year. I said, Jonathan got a job down in Alabama. We didn't think Lydia and Josiah would ever want to, you know, go with us, but both of them decided that's what they wanted to do. And Josiah was able to get into Wichita State, into the graduate program out there. That's what he's going to do this fall in the will of the Lord. And then just the Lord began to lead. We began to get the house ready. We put it up on the market within a month. A Christian young couple put an offer on the house. They were paying cash for it. We didn't have to worry about going through a bank or anything like that. We went to them and said, listen, we really don't want to move until May. And could we rent the house back from you? And they said, listen, we're not in any hurry to move. They live right around the corner from us on T.W. Alexander. And they said, we need to get our house ready to sell. We live in a condo. We were really in the market for a house. We just had always liked this neighborhood, saw your house for sale, and we fell in love with it. the Lord provided to get it ready for him. There's a couple things we had to do to get it ready for him. The Lord provided that, everything just along the way. They said, listen, we'll rent it back to you. They told us a price, and we said, that's too much. We can't pay that much. We'll pay this much. And they said, okay, we'll rent it to you for that much. And just everything, how the Lord provides. So Angie, you know, here was the big thing. Angie has this home business that she does, this knitting business, and sells these patterns online and knits things and sells them. And I mean, the house is filled with all this women's stuff, you know, all this knitting stuff. And I mean, it's just, I was going to get a 12-foot truck, but I'm going to have to get a 24-foot truck. But anyway, I'm just kidding. She does have a lot of stuff, though. I mean, if you ask her, she'll tell you. It's a lot of stuff. But the Lord, so the Lord provided that we didn't have to move twice. We didn't have to go look for an apartment. We didn't have to go look for a house. We were thinking that's what we were going to have to do. But the Lord provided we'd have to do that. And everything we asked the Lord, everything we said, Lord, this is a bear. This is something you've got to do for us. He did. This Christian young couple that bought our house, her dad is a missionary pilot with Wycliffe in Indonesia. Now, if you all know Elizabeth and Jamin, you know that they're going to go out with new tribes. And the place they'd like to go if they had their first choice is Indonesia. That's not just a coincidence. And when one of the reasons they bought the house, when they walked into our house on our refrigerator, we had a picture of Jamin and Elizabeth, you know, talking about them wanting to be missionary pilots. And they said, this is it. This is the house we want to buy. We didn't know that. In fact, when they originally looked at the house, we had heard rumors that they lived like up in Chicago or something like that. Somewhere up in the north. But they lived right here in Durham. And so all of these things along the way, as we saw the Lord, they came over to our house. We negotiated certain things along in the contract. And everything that we needed to have done, the Lord directed in. One thing I'm convinced of, and I hope you see it this way, it's not so much of us leaving Durham as us just going on to the next place where I believe the Lord's going to use us for Him. The children of Israel left Egypt, absolutely. But it wasn't so much them leaving Egypt as it was them going out to the land of promise to serve the Lord. Now, I'm not saying Kansas is a land of promise. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying what they were doing wasn't just leaving behind, but they were going forward in their relationship with the Lord and in their service of the Lord. And I believe that's what we're doing. And the Lord has made it so evident. I've got freedom. Like I said, I'm preaching almost every weekend between now and the end of the year. I got weekends filled up. I'm already filling up next year's calendar. People are letting me know they want me to come, and I'm taking those as the Lord leads. And the Lord is just so abundantly providing for us. We were going to rent a house out in Kansas. We just couldn't find anything. And the Lord provided this perfect little house. We're 3 minutes from the chapel, literally 3 minutes. I left our driveway and drove over to the chapel. We're 3 minutes from the chapel there. There's opportunities. Last summer, Angie and I, when we were out there, the reason we really went out to Kansas was to help with this Hispanic ministry in a little assembly up in Kansas City, which is about 3 hours from where we're living. And I told you about some of the things that went on up there. It was just amazing what the Lord is doing. And since then, He's blessed that. I've gone up there one Sunday a month since I've been out in January, since I went out in January. And that little Hispanic group is growing. Antonio, who was the fellow who we went out to see that last day, I don't know if you all remember the whole story. We went out and visited this guy, last person on the list. We hadn't gone out to see him. We thought, let's just try. We didn't know anything about him. We went out to see him. He had been living away from the Lord. His father, he grew up in an assembly in Honduras. His father was an elder in that assembly. And we went in and talked to him, and he said, I've been praying that somebody would come by and see me. He said, I have not been walking with the Lord. And he turned his life around. Well, the Lord turned his life around. He's been going on for the Lord. His brother and his sister, well, it's not his sister-in-law, it's the woman that his brother's been living with, just professed to be saved a couple of weeks ago when I was there, just after I was there. The Lord's doing a work. And we just praise the Lord for that. And so, if we seek the Lord, if we just allow the Lord to lead us any way He wants to, He's in control. We're His servants. He's bought us with a great price. Willing to give up anything and everything, not set down roots too deeply, the Lord, He will direct us. He really will. He will use us. And we're living in the last days. And it's harder now, probably, to go on for the Lord. There's a lot of persecution. There's a lot of misunderstanding. But the Lord is still able. And I just want to encourage you with that. I mean, we're just so glad that the Lord uses us. We feel such an indebtedness to Him. So we're going there to Kansas, going there to the little town of Kichai. I mean, this little town is tiny. It's a little tiny town. I mean, you can like walk across from one side to the other in about 15 minutes. I mean, it's just nothing. But it's a neat place, and I think there's opportunities. Even in my job, you know, I share the gospel with people, talk to people about, you know, who I am and what I've done. Y'all know me. Anyway, so, and had opportunities to do that. So just continue to pray for us. We appreciate that you do that. We appreciate, again, all you've done for us over the years and your kindnesses to us and the fellowship we've been able to have here and the opportunities we've been able to have here to serve the Lord. And we'll pray for you all. And I don't want to go on because I know we want to have this party back there. So anyway, just again, we appreciate that. I hope that answered some of the questions that some people have concerning us. And maybe we just turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank You so much that You are our guide. You are the one that leads us in the paths of righteousness for Your namesake. You are the one that shows us Your will. If we're willing to do it, the Scripture says, if we're willing to do Your will, You'll make it known to us. I thank You, O Father, for guiding me and my family. I thank You for my children that You have blessed me with and with the opportunities that they've had here at Northgate Chapel to serve You and to serve Your people. I pray, O Lord, that You would take the seed that's been planted here, the work that has been done over the years, and that You would use it for Your glory, for the benefit of the assembly here and for the benefit of Your work in this area. And Father, I just pray that You would just comfort our hearts in knowing that even though we might not see each other again in this life, those of us that know Christ will see each other again there in glory, in Your presence. And that even though we are separated by miles of distance, we are still all part of the same body of Christ. So bless this assembly, Father, here. Bless the elders, Bob and Gene and Charles and Earl. Guide this assembly through them. Feed the flock and shepherd the flock through these men. Keep them from harm and keep them from anything that would displease You. Use them to be an example to the flock and to glorify You in everything they do. Protect their families and, oh Father, raise up other men in that role. Thank You for those that minister the Word here. Thank You for those that serve in so many ways. In this assembly, even in the things that are oftentimes unseen, like mowing the grass and planting flowers and watering flowers and cleaning the chapel and fixing things that are in need of repair here. For the ministry of prayer for this assembly and for working with the children and just every aspect of what goes on at this assembly, Father, let it be done decently and in order. Let it be done for the praise and glory of Your name. And You, Father, would bless it, and that it would further the purpose and the work that You desire to do in this community. And just again, thank You for the time that we've been here, Father. Thank You for leading us here. And Father, thank You for leading us again in the path that You would have us to go. And we just give You all the praise and glory because we're just amazed at all that. That weak vessels like us, undeserving men and women like us, are able to bring glory to Your name. For now, Father, we thank You for this, and we give You thanks for the time of refreshment back in the back, the time of fellowship. We ask that You would bless that as well. That's one of the things that was practiced in the book of Acts that oftentimes is left off among us. the fellowship among your people. And so, Father, bless our time of fellowship, and we'll give you the thanks in all these things as we ask them through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.